And that's how people view God, even Christ, that he really wants to save sinners. So he's controlling situations, but alas, he needs our help. We need you praying. That's, you ever gotten one of those requests on the Facebook or email? Don't break the chain because you might hurt somebody. We're all doing this. We're praying. You need to pass this forward because if you don't, then they might not be blessed. You talk about blackmail, holding people hostage. I'm going to be the guy that breaks the chain because that's not how God works. It's not a tug of war between good and evil. And now we're going to try to get more people on God's side pulling over here so that he can have the victory. But that's how men reason. That's even how Pharaoh thought. That's why they had these gods depending on the situation. God of the mountain, God of the valley, God of the river, God of flies. And yet, here he's being shown that there is but one God. And God would accomplish his purpose and will. So what we see here, again, it's not so much about Pharaoh as it is about Joseph. About now is the time when God is going to be pleased to bring Joseph up out of that prison house, exalt him above a people for one purpose, to save a people alive. Not necessarily Egyptians. See, even this God determines. There was a people that God had in mind for bringing Joseph down there in the first place. And it had to do with his brother, the very ones that had rebelled against him. As God's prophet, as God's priest, as God's king. See, those are the three areas of opposition: prophet, priest, and king. That's what he came and fulfilled as God's servant, and that on behalf of that people that God gave him to save. If you look over in Matthew 27 and verse 27, Matthew 27, 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. See, back here in Matthew 26, they're mocking him as prophet, where it says, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is it that smote thee? Here they're mocking him as king. And you can see in other references where he was mocked as the priest, God's priest, high priest. They stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. I will tell you that this is what people do in religion today. When you set forth Christ as sovereign, they begin to mock because they have such a high opinion of themselves and their supposed free will that when they come at you and attack you and pretty much are telling you, that's not my Christ. What they're doing is the same thing as these that crucified him. But you know, such were some of us. We were of that same mindset. And when the Lord brings that home to your heart, that's where you begin to see just how gracious a God he is, because he could have left us there. Grant her the grace to look to Christ alone. Just as the examples given there of Job in verse 11. You've heard of the patience of Job. How did he exercise patience? Well, you can read parts in there where he grumbled, he complained. You say, well, you know, how did he endure? Well, as the Lord taught him, you know, it brought him to repentance and caused him to see, even as it says here, that the Lord is very pitiful. I'm not sure that's a right translation as we would understand it today when we say pitiful, but the whole sense is to be full of mercy and compassion and grace. You know, that's the difference between how the Lord deals with his children and how he deals with the world. The world benefits from God's mercies. Anything this side of hell is a mercy.
when the Lord puts food on tables, puts money in a bank account, promotes them. Those are all mercies. It's more than what they deserve. But the difference, you know, we all benefit from his mercy, but the difference is his grace. Grace is reserved for his own, those that he has chosen. He set his love upon from eternity, and Christ has redeemed. Those are the objects of his grace. But we can truly say that the Lord is very pitiful, full of mercy. To be pitiful means to be moved for his own in their suffering. And that's the thing to remember, is that if we're the Lord's, nothing touches us but what comes through the hand of Christ. And in that we can rest. And I pray we will. Let's, by his grace, serve him and endure these trials, and know that his will shall be done.